There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning in to this edition of the podcast on this Thursday. We'd like to welcome each and every one of our listeners, those of you that listen every single weekday. We certainly appreciate you tuning in, letting folks know about the podcast. And I'll begin announcing next Friday. It's a little bit more than a week from now. We'll be at the Sooner Rose Baptist Church. That's just right outside of Oklahoma City. And we certainly look forward to being with the folks there. And it's been 5 years since we've been out there. And we're looking forward to being with the folks in Oklahoma City once again. Be there for the Jubilee Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we're heading down to Antlers the following weekend and be with the folks down there. And certainly looking forward to the meeting, looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. So pray for our travels. Big weekend. We got a young man under our ministry that we've known for a long time and got a niece. They're marrying each other. So we got a big weekend coming up. Looking forward to that. And we're going to be back in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and go down about, well, halfway through the chapter where we stopped last time. When he said, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make paths, straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But he said this, but let it rather be healed. And so the Lord gives instruction concerning this. And that's us. That's our hands. We don't want them to hang down. We need chastening. And by the way, when you're depressed and having a pity party, feeling sorry for yourself, you need chastening of the Lord. And that's what a lot of folks just get. And I've been there many, many times myself. I'm not throwing stones. I've been there. I know what it's like. I understand what it's like. And just to have that pity party, we just feel like everything's wrong and everything's out of sorts and you just can't find peace with God. I told a man just the other day, I said, go back where God you left God. Can't find God, go find out where he's at because he didn't leave you. You've left him. He'll neither leave thee nor forsake thee. He told you that. He promised you that. And so our feet need to be in the right path. That's why he chastens us. That's why he leads us. And it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And I know the old Holiness Church used to preach that as a doctrine of second work of grace, holiness, twisting the scripture. They really got that from Booth and some from Wesley, and they kind of combined the two. And they said, you need that second work of grace, that absolute eradication of the seed of flesh. And it just doesn't work that way. And yet what holiness is to follow holiness. That's the things that are holy. The word of God, your manner of life, that it be pleasing to the Lord in this matter of holiness, according to the spirit of holiness, the word of God told us. The spirit of holiness does not give you a second work of grace. The spirit of holiness, when you have the spirit of holiness, he can make you holy. He'll take that which was profane in your life and he'll make it holy. And he'll take those vulgar things in your life. He'll make them holy. He'll take those ugly things in your life and he'll make them holy. Therefore, you can be holy. He told us to be ye holy as your Father in heaven. And by the way, if our Father in heaven is holy, why wouldn't we want to seek after holiness? Why wouldn't we want to be a holy people? And so he instructs us concerning holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. And then he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So without holiness, you're going to fail of the grace of God. He tells you that. And how do you fail the grace of God? Well, he tells you on then, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so that's part of it. That root of bitterness, and I don't want to preach an entire message on here on bitterness, but it has plagued people now for thousands of years. It's going to continue to plague people. They're ate up with bitterness. They're tore up with bitterness. Their lives are bitter. Their ways are bitter. Their families are bitter. And he said, many be defiled. Why are so many defiled? Because when you are bitter, everybody around you is defiled by your bitterness. It is that poison you take to destroy others, but it kills you. And bitterness is absolutely destructive. Bitterness is so harmful. Bitterness is a plague on your soul. And yet folks just remain bitter. They can't forgive. They can't look over slights. They can't have mercy. They can't be long-suffering. They cannot be kind. Why? Because the bitterness plagues them. The bitterness is forefront of their life. When everybody else is wrong, then you rest assured this, you're bitter. And when somebody can steal your joy, it's because you're bitter. If you can't have peace, it's because you're bitter. And if somebody can steal my joy, I don't have much joy to begin with. And if I can let just little personal things steal my joy, I don't have much joy. And if I can let a person overthrow me in those things, I don't have much. And yet bitterness has plagued people. Bitterness has plagued me. I've been in places of bitterness. I know what it's like to be a bitter person. I know what it's like to be a bitter preacher. Looking at that person that so slighted me and realizing how bitter they are, but not realizing how bitter I am. Blaming them for my bitterness. And yet I'm the problem. I'm the fault. If I have a problem, and you know, it's that thing I said recently here on the podcast. When somebody says, I have a problem with you, they need to just stop with, I have a problem. You sort that out yourself. That's the way it is with bitterness. And somebody says, well, I got a problem with so-and-so. Well, you just need to get that resolved in your own thinking. I know there's times people have come up to me and apologized. Said, brother, I had bitterness towards you. I had aught with you. I have no clue what they're talking about. And here they are. They're just plagued with this bitterness, trying to hurt me, trying to make me paranoid, trying to wound me. And I have no idea that they even have a problem with me. And I've been there. I've been there in a place where I look at someone, I think, boy, that man, if you know, he knows what he's done, he knows how he's hurt, and he has no clue what he's done. You know why? Because I'm the one that's bitter. And so therefore, we're looking, he said, diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. If you can't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. He tells you that is scriptural, that's Bible. And he gives you instruction concerning that. And yet there are so many that cannot forgive. They've been so slighted. They have been so wronged in their life. And they just will not forgive. And they cannot forgive. And therefore they fail the grace of God. And many are defiled. Why? Because that thing troubles you. You wake up in the morning, bitterness troubles you. You go to bed at night, bitterness troubles you. He tells you not to be bitter with your wife. Why? Husbands, be not bitter with your wives. Why? Because your wives don't even know what they've done. And you sit there seething at them, angry with them, hurt by them, wounded by them. And an effeminate man takes that effeminately, and he thinks his wife has done it deliberately and willfully. And then a continuation of the same sentence, he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Why was he profane? Well, profanity is the opposite of holiness, if you will. You take that which is holy and you make it profane by considering it common or nothing. And the word of God is holy, and you just make it profane by thinking it's nothing. The name of God is holy, and you just take his name in vain. You consider it nothing. Marriage is honorable before all. And by the way, marriage bed is undefiled, but men take that and they make it unholy. They make it common. They're fornicators. They're profane in their fornication. Their language is profane concerning those things. They speak evil of those things. And he said, this is Esau. What is Esau's problem? He didn't really think anything about that birthright. Because he was profane, he for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And I'm going to read the passage in Genesis 25, 30. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore is his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? What profit is there if you don't have your birthright? I'm going to die. I'm going to pass away here. I'm famished. I have not eaten. What does that birthright mean to me if I die? But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, what did Esau give? That profane man, he considered his belly before he considered God. He considered his own personal discomfort before he considered the word of God. He was a profane man. Therefore, because he was profane, what happened to him? He said, I'm appointed to die. What profits this birthright do to me? And Jacob says, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised, he despised what was rightfully his. He despised the lineage of Jesus Christ. It meant absolutely nothing to him. That's what a fornicator does. That's what a bitter person does. They don't consider Christ. We've been preaching the last weeks on this, considering Christ, seeing Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Consider him. Why do you consider him? So you don't get bitter. Why do you look unto him? So you don't despise your birthright, lest you be a profane person. And over again, you see this through Scripture. You see this in people's lives today. But Esau sold it for a morsel of meat. He filled his belly with bread and pottage of lentils, and he went out and just lived his normal life. It didn't faze him to do that. It didn't bother him to do that. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There are things you cannot find a place of repentance in. That birthright was one of them. There are sinners that have gone too far with God. They cannot find a place of repentance. And they might seek it carefully with tears, but they won't look in the right place because God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. And they will not seek God. They will not seek through the Word of God. So what they do is they usually go find some religion that accompanies their ideals and their philosophies and their practices, if you will. And they follow that and they say, you know, I find appeasement in that. I find a little bit of comfort in that. But they will not return to the Word of God because they've despised the Word of God. And Esau despised that inheritance. He despised that birthright. And he could not find a place of repentance. And my friend, if you're even concerned about that, you can rest assured you haven't gone too far with God. The fact that you're troubled about those things, you haven't gone too far with God. I've had people ask me over the years many times, am I a reprobate? And the fact that they are concerned about that tells me they're probably not a reprobate because they're not the slightest bit concerned. And over the years, I've seen people and heard people that have defiled themselves in sin, tried to destroy themselves in sin, but they're not reprobate concerned of the faith. Why? Because they have a concern over their soul. They have not gone too far with God. And my friend, it's a wonderful thing to know that you can have the forgiveness of sins, the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Ghost. You can have your sins washed away, forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, and raise up and walk in the newness of life with the forgiveness of sins. But what do you got to do? You got to come to a place of repentance. Esau could not come to that place. He was a profane man. He despised his birthright. He sold it for his belly. He sold it for the lust of his flesh. He sold it for his own profit, short term, and he despised it. What profit was it? He gained the whole world, but what did he do? He lost his soul. He couldn't find it, but he sought it carefully with tears. For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard and treated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. That's what they said. They said, I don't want to hear this word anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But here's what the Lord said. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels. So why do we consider these things? Because it's not under the law. We're not coming to that mount that quaked, that mount that burnt with fire. We're not coming to Sinai. We're coming to Zion, that city, that heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Thank God for that. My name is written there on the page, white and fair. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so the blood of Jesus Christ spoke more than the Abel's offering. It spoke more than the blood of those lambs and of those goats. So we don't come to that mount. We're not coming to Sinai. We're coming to Zion. We're coming to that great mount in the city of the great King. And it's our privilege as a child of God to know our names are written there. Our reward is there. Our hope is there. Our strength in there. And then it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And so they turned away on earth. Now we have the word of God. We have it in written form. We have it in our hands. And see that ye turn not away from this, that God spoke to them out of the mount. The word of God came to them, and they still turned away. So if we turn away from the speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Isaiah 13:13. We said in Haggai 2:6-7 as well. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So when the earth quaked and the earth shook, God removed those things temporal, those things that could be moved. Now nothing else will be moved by the shaking. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has purified the heavens. The blood of Jesus Christ has purified our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is upon the mercy seat, and we come boldly to that place to obtain help, to obtain mercy, and we come through Jesus Christ. That's why we are not soon shaken in mind. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You want to serve God, you must be holy. You want to serve God, you got to get the bitterness out of your life. You want to serve God, you can't be profane. You want to serve him, you do it with reverence and godly fear. Why? The word of God told us he is a consuming fire. You want to find yourself out of sorts with God? Get bitter. Want to find sorts out of God? Just stay in sin. Want to find yourself out of sorts with God? Just go ahead and do what you want to do. Go back to your old profaneness. Go back to your own filthiness. Go back to your own wretchedness. Sell everything out for a little bit of flesh, a little bit of comfort, a little bit of a temporal fix, if you will. You'll find that our God is a consuming fire. Would you consider these things? Lord, we'll be back.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints are